He stopped at the door, but wouldn't even look inside. The woman on the bed had been dead for several days. She was nude and still tied down, and her face was contorted as if she'd died in agony. Stavin stepped back when he realized that her breasts had been cut off, and the damage to her stomach made Stavin retch. It looked like a sword had been... Stavin stumbled out of the cell, vomiting against the wall.
"Close it!" he croaked. "Keep searching! Gods above and below, I hope that wasn't Queen Rowena!"
Karvik nodded and turned to continue the search while Stavin returned to the king.
"Was it Rowena?"
the king asked.
"I don't know, Your Majesty. I've never met her, so I couldn't tell. They said she had to be punished for bringing a defective into Lebowan's realm."
Stavin backed away, then looked around. The priest was crouched against the wall under the baleful glare of two guardsmen. Stavin walked over and kicked him in the stomach before demanding, "Was that Queen Rowena?" as he pointed at the cell.
She had to be punished. She brought a defective into the royal line."
Stavin stepped back and brought his dragon's tongue to bear, but had second thoughts. He growled as he said,
"Don't let him go anywhere,"
then turned away. Stavin walked back to the cell that held the pitiful remains of Caravia's queen, and took a deep breath to steel himself for the ordeal ahead. He said,
"I need a hand in here."
Major Zelastel and four of their senior men immediately came forward.
"Find a blanket or something,"
he whispered, then pushed the door open. Stavin cut the ropes that bound her to the bed, then took on the grim task of wrapping the queen's body himself. He finally looked at the captain and whispered,
"Take the queen out of here, and don't let the king see what was done to her."
Stavin took a moment to catch his breath and fight down his nausea, then shouted,
"Bring that piece of shit in here!"
The guardsman carried the struggling priest to the cell, and Stavin commanded,
"Strip him, then tie him where the queen died. Face down."
The warriors threw the priest against the wall to knock the fight out of him, ripped his robes off, then slammed him face first into the soggy straw where the queen had been murdered, and bound his arms and legs as she had been bound. The priest struggled to keep his head up, but Stavin shoved his face down into the soggy straw.
"This is where you die, priest,"
he growled.
"No one is going to come down here for you. And when we find your high priest, I'll put him in here with you."
Stavin's smile was evil as he looked the priest in the eye.
"I wonder how long he'll last before he starts eating you raw."
Stavin launched himself away from the priest and turned away, then walked out of the cell as the priest screamed,
"You can't do this! You can't defy Lebowan!"
Stavin looked over his shoulder and snarled,
"Watch me!"
Then he slammed the door and threw the bolt. Chapter 12. Lady Dana and Lady Saralee returned to the palace courtyard and walked over to the carriage. As soon as Princess Elisanne recognized them, she burst into tears and ran to hug Saralee. Dana joined the hug as the young princess cried her heart out in their arms. Princess Charindis walked up and stopped a pace away.
"Did you find anyone?"
Lady Saralee shook her head as she looked at Shari.
"No one of any use, just the priests of Lebowan and their followers."
Princess Elisanne choked out,
"He was leaving,"
past her tears.
"They were proclaiming Carvar Zeldravel the new king of Caravia. They said..."
The princess broke down and sobbed again, then continued in a savage tone,
"He said we were defective. They said Mummy and Daddy were dead."
She broke down and cried in Saralee's arms again. Troopers and guardsmen were dragging bodies out of the palace, stacking them like trash against a wall well away from the carriage. One group of guardsmen brought out a blanket-wrapped bundle and laid it gently against a wall in front of the carriage. The horses reacted to the smell, shaking the carriage and drawing Shari's attention. Charondis walked over and softly asked,
"Who is it?"
"We think it's the Queen," Major Zelastil answered just as softly. "We don't know for certain, though. None of us has ever met her." Charondis nodded, then walked over to Lady Dana. She laid a hand on the young woman's shoulder and said,
"I need your help."
Lady Dana nodded. Then they walked over to Major Zelastil. Without a word, he pulled the blanket away from the woman's face. Lady Dana sobbed,
"Rowena!"
and turned away. Princess Elisen heard Dana's choked cry and completely broke down in Sara Lee's arms. Major Zelastil walked over and bowed very low as he said,
"Princess Elisen, your father is alive. He's injured, but he lives. And he knows himself."
Everyone's attention was on the princesses, so no one noticed the figure creeping up on Carlin until it was too late. Carlin's scream was their only warning. A man in elaborate robes grabbed Carlin and held him up as a shield, shouting,
"Drop your weapons! Drop them, I say! I'll tear his heart out!"
Charondis was momentarily terrified. Then her terror turned to rage. A scream ripped from her throat as she charged toward the man who dared to touch her child. The man's hand glowed crimson for a moment. Then he clawed at Carlin's chest. Nothing happened. He was looking at his hand in stunned disbelief when the top blade of Shari's dragon's tongue drove through his eye into his brain, and she shoved it to the side, cutting the fool's brain in half. Carlin landed on his feet when the mage fell, and ran to his mother's embrace as she knelt, then burst into tears. All the guardswomen had come to Carlin's assistance, and now they gathered around mother and son, facing outward with bared weapons. Every woman there looked ready to kill anyone who threatened their charges. Sara Lee and Dana brought Princess Elisen over as well. Elisen was looking at the scene with wide, shocked eyes.
"How did you do that? Why would you risk it?"
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis looked at her and said,
"Never mess with a Mama Dragon's chicks."
Charondis eased her grip on Carlin and said,
"Princess Elisen, come here for a moment."
When the younger princess was close, Shari turned Carlin to face her. On the boy's chest, right over his heart, the cloth was burned away to reveal brightly gleaming gold mail.
"Steven's meal is still a little big for him, but it fits well enough."
"Dragonscale,"
Princess Elisen murmured.
"Dragonscale resists the magic of Libawan's Magi."
Shari nodded.
"And more powerful Magi as well."
Shari spent a few moments describing Stavin's encounter with the priests of the Evilest One.
"That mage was a black adept of the Evilest One, and all he could do was slow Stavie down a little."
Major Zelastil was searching the body, and presented Shari with what he found. He said,
"Typical,"
in a disgusted tone, as he held out a large double handful of golden jewels.
"He was just a thief masquerading as a priest mage." "It's Lebowan's way,"
one of the wagon drivers said, drawing everyone's attention. He bowed deeply, then continued,
"Lebowan's priests confiscate the property of anyone they condemn. That's how they hold on to their power. If you defy them, they'll find something defective about you, stone you to death, and then take everything you have for themselves."
The man shook his head.
"My brother lost his life and farm to one of the Cutter's priests."
It took until nightfall for the search to be completed. Stavin and Karvik returned to the carriage, and the haunted looks both men wore made Charondis rush to take Stavin in her arms.
"What did you find?"
she asked in a husky whisper, her lips almost touching his helmet.
"Death,"
was all Stavin would say for a few moments.
"They filled the dungeons with the Chosen. Lesser clans were just told to convert or die. And hundreds died." "Prince Stavin?"
Princess Elisen asked as she stepped closer.
"My father and Carl?
Stavin closed his eyes briefly, then said, "Your father is with the healers. He's in bad shape. Your brother..." Stavin had to pause for a moment and shake his head.
"They told your father that Prince Khaldan was defective, and they..."
Stavin had to pause again.
"They made him watch while they stunned him."
Princess Elisen broke down crying again, all but screaming.
"That was just a mole!"
Lady Dana and Lady Saraly rushed to comfort her, holding her between them as she cried. Stavin looked around at his guards and said,
"I don't trust the palace yet. There are too many places to hide. Set camp out here and stay alert. We didn't find many of the higher priests, and there is supposed to be at least one mage with them."
"Mummy took care of the mage, Daddy,"
Carlin said, drawing Stavin's attention.
"Shari?"
Stavin asked in a stunned tone.
"He grabbed Carly when they brought out Queen Rowena. He tried to tear his heart out. Thank the gods above you insisted Carly wear your meal."
Stavin looked around and demanded, "Where is he?" As his growl intensified.
"In the trash heap with the rest of Lebowan's filth."
Shari looked at her husband.
"You don't think I'd let him live, do you?"
Stavin let just a hint of a grin lift his lips.
"No, I know you better than that."
Averin walked over and bowed.
"Prince Stavin, a meal is ready."
Stavin looked at the sky and shook his head.
"Short day, Car."
"Yes, Prince Stavin."
"Double the sentries, fast rotation, consult with the healers about bringing the wounded out here. I won't feel safe until Zell Dravel is caught."
"Yes, Prince Stavin."
The chief healer found Stavin before the meal was served.
"Prince Stavin, you ask to be informed as to the king's condition."
He paused until Stavin bowed his head for the man to continue.
"Prince Stavin, King Taravan is grievously injured. We've cast the most powerful healing spells we command, but even our best efforts may be futile. King Taravan..."
He paused and seemed to search for the right words before continuing.
"The king doesn't seem to want to live. What was done to him, to his wife and son, seems to be destroying his will to live. I just don't know for certain that we can save him from himself."
Stavin looked at the healer and said,
"Do everything you can. Caerivia needs her king."
The meal was basic, but filling. A soldier's meal. Princess Elisen sat beside her father, carefully feeding him as they spoke in low tones. It was late when the king asked for Stavin and all of the chosen in the courtyard to attend him.
"Prince Stavin Zell Andral,"
the king wheezed.
"Caerivia is in peril. I am too grievously injured to take back what is mine, and my only surviving child is too young. Here, in front of these chosen witnesses, I abdicate in your favor and proclaim you King of Caerivia."
The king had to stop speaking as he gasped for breath for a few terrifying moments.
"Caerivia must have a strong king to take back what Zell Dravel has stolen, and I must have a true successor before I die."
Stavin was stunned, speechless for a moment. "What?" Then he bowed deeply.
"I shall take back what Zell Dravel has stolen, and hold it in trust for the chosen clan of Darvin."
Stavin looked around to ensure everyone was listening and said,
"All of you bear witness,"
before he turned back to the king and continued,
"King Taravan, when you are well, I will abdicate in your favor or in favor of Princess Alisan upon her majority if you are not available. This I swear on my honor and the honor of the chosen clan of Andral."
King Taravan whispered,
"Save the kingdom, King Stavin. That's all that matters."
Princess Elisan started to say something, but shook her head as she changed her mind. Then her attention was drawn back to her father.
"Daddy?"
she asked softly. King Taravan lapsed into unconsciousness, and a healer wormed his way to the king's side.
"He is just unconscious, Your Majesty. What are your commands?"
Stavin looked at the healer, then briefly at Princess Elisan, then bowed his head.
"Save him. Save King Taravan no matter what it takes."
Looking around, Stavin spotted a very disturbed-looking Captain Zell Korval.
"Captain, get the word out to all commands that Zell Dravel is to be captured, alive if possible. What is the nearest fort?"
"Fort Kelhaven in 2 days' ride south, Your Majesty."
Stavin shook his head but let it go.
"I want someone to find the General of the Army's message book."
Stavin grinned at the captain.
"Zell Dravel may have a head start, but the book will put us in the lead."
The captain smiled, then turned to his junior officers.
"You heard the king. Find and search Lord General Zelmanal's office and that of his clerk. Find the message book and bring it to me."
The young officers bowed, then headed into the palace. Turning back to Stavin, Captain Zell Korval bowed.
"May I suggest sending raiders through the city? The people obviously know that Zell Dravel took the palace. I believe they should be told that we've taken it back, and that you are now their king, Your Majesty."
Stavin muttered.
"I've barely gotten used to being called Your Highness, and now this."
As he held out his hands as if holding something.
"Gods above, what next?"
Turning to face the captain, he nodded once.
"See to it. Tell any troops who are loyal to the king to join us here. We need to find Zell Dravel."
"At once, King Stavin."
Charindis was looking at Stavin with barely controlled mirth on her face. Stavin just shook his head and said,
"Don't laugh, Queen Charindis."
Charindis laughed loudly at that.
"I think it's a wonderful thing, Stevie, but you're right."
She looked over toward Princess Elisan.
"It's only temporary."
Princess Elisan walked over and touched Stavin's arm. When he looked up at her, she said,
"King Stavin, my father has placed the fate of our kingdom in your hands. Please, you must defeat Lebowan's priests. You can't let them turn Karevia into Lebowan's hell."
Stavin nodded and said,
"We will."
Chapter 13. The night was quiet. At the captain's suggestion, Stavin had decided to save the announcement until morning, so the city was as quiet as a graveyard. It seemed that no one wanted to draw the attention of Lebowan's priests. Stavin was awake long after Shari and the children had fallen asleep. He didn't want to disturb Shari, so he went out by the fire. He couldn't stop thinking about this newest twist in his fate. King Stavin.
"Gods above, protect Karevia,"
he whispered. A familiar voice replied,
"I think they are."
"Couldn't sleep either."
"Took night watch myself. It's been an exciting day,"
Karvik said as he moved closer to Stavin's side. Stavin spoke in a sour tone as he said,
"You have an astounding talent for understatement, Kar."
"You know, King Stavin has a nice ring to it,"
Karvik said in a soft tone. He moved so he was looking down at Stavin's face. His face was hidden by the front of his helmet, so Stavin couldn't see his expression. Stavin snorted, though an amusement or contempt wasn't obvious.
"Sure. Can you imagine me facing Kaelin as an equal? Besides, Karevia deserves better than me. Yes, I studied crown management dutifully while I was Marina's heir, but if something had happened, I would have had Darwin and all the councillors to keep me from making a mess of things. Here,"
he waved his hand in a circle,
"the best counsellor I have is a teenage girl."
Karvik nodded as he stepped closer. "Just checking." He patted Stavin's shoulder, then moved on into the night. Stavin went back to bed and finally went to sleep, only to dream of sitting on the throne and not being able to lead. Morning arrived with a crash, when a cook's apprentice tripped and dropped a pan. Stavin heard the cook berating the boy, and smiled as he sat up. Shari opened her eyes and said,
"I hate sleeping next to the kitchen. At least I don't have to get up and cook."
Stavin nodded, then got up and quickly dressed in his armor. He again left his mail off, leaving it for Carlin. He walked out of the tent and found all the royal guards gathered around him, and the Caravian cavalry gathered around them. Stavin felt self-conscious for the first time in years. He bowed and said,
"Good morning."
"Good morning, Your Majesty,"
140 voices replied. Stavin managed not to sigh.
"I want riders in groups of 5 patrolling the city, announcing that Lebowan no longer holds sway here. Have them direct any loyal troops to the palace."
Captain Zelkorval walked up to Stavin and bowed.
"I've detailed 25 men to make the announcement, Your Majesty. I'd like to send the rest into the palace and continue the search for missing lords and leaders, as well as the palace staff."
Stavin nodded and said,
"Very well, but send someone to get some wagons to get those bodies out of here first."
He waved toward the pile of Lebowan's followers.
"And make arrangements to properly honor Queen Rowena."
Captain Zelkorval bowed deeply.
"As you command, King Stavin."
He stepped closer and looked down into Stavin's eyes before softly saying,
"And thank you."
Stavin went to check his horse, ignoring the shocked looks he was receiving. No one was daring enough to challenge his right to tend to his own mount, and he could tell most of the troopers disapproved. The royal guards just shook their heads in mock despair. Princess Elisanne came out of the tent Lady Dana and Lady Sara Lee had been sharing, and Stavin nodded. He hadn't noticed where she had gone to bed.
"Good morning, Princess Elisanne," he said with a bow. "Good morning, King Stavin. Have you decided what to do about that murdering scum, Zeldraval?"
Stavin shrugged.
"I'm leaning toward beheading, or possibly disembowelment, like he did to—"
Stavin stopped before he said it, but she knew.
"Like he did to my mum,"
she whispered.
"I'm sorry. I didn't want you or your father to find out what—"
She interrupted him in a bitter tone.
"It's how they kill women who have brought defectives into the world, King Stavin. They shove a sword—"
Now it was Stavin's turn to interrupt.
"Shh, don't say it. I know, I saw."
Princess Elisanne wiped a tear from her eye with an impatient gesture. She said,
"I want to be there,"
in a savage tone that made Stavin step back.
"I don't think that's a good idea,"
Stavin murmured.
"We're going to have to chase him down if the army can't intercept him."
Stavin thought for a moment, then shook his head.
"That reminds me, I need the army message book."
Princess Elisanne looked around, spotted a cavalry sergeant, and raised her hand minimally. The man immediately came to her side and went to one knee with his eyes on her feet.
"You summoned me, Princess Elisanne?"
he asked, keeping his head bowed.
"Yes, sergeant. Find out what happened to the army message book. King Stavin ordered it found last night."
The sergeant stood and bowed deeply to his princess, then even deeper to his new king.
"At once, Your Highness. Your Majesty."
He bowed again, then turned and walked away. Stavin escorted the princess over to where Shari and the maids were seeing to the children. Shari smiled and motioned to a chair that had been brought out of the palace.
She said, "Please join us. Our servants can see to all of us."
Princess Elisanne smiled sadly, then bowed and took the indicated seat.
"I wish my maids had survived. Hopefully they were just thrown into the dungeons,"
Stavin said from behind her.
"The troopers and guardsmen are still bringing people out."
Princess Elisanne shook her head as a sad expression clouded her face.
"Zeldraval said only the chosen were worth the effort. Anyone else who would not swear to Lebowan, when asked the first time, wasn't worth asking a second time."
A tear slid down her cheek.
"Our servants wouldn't have joined him. All the royal servants are dead."
Sarin walked over and climbed into Elisan's lap, hugging her neck. Elisan began to cry, holding the little princess tightly as great sobs shook her from head to toe. Avrin brought Stavin a plate, then looked at Princess Elisan. Stavin nodded toward her and said, "Take good care of her, Avrin. I'll be too busy to need you for most of the day."
"As you command, King Stavin."
Avrin's mouth had a slight quirk to it as he spoke, and Stavin shook his head.
"Don't get too used to that, Avrin."
Avrin bowed and said,
"Of course not, King Stavin."
Stavin shook his head and saw Sindal giving him a very amused look. Stavin just shook his head again and sighed. "May as well let them enjoy it." He turned and ate quickly, then walked away without another word. Stavin headed for the palace entryway, and 10 of his warriors ran to his side. Stavin glanced at them, then nodded and continued on. The palace that had been constructed by the early Zeldarvin governors was truly magnificent. Caravia had been much more affluent than Evandir in those days. They checked every room they passed, and Stavin stayed in the hall until the warriors had done a thorough inspection. Stavin began to dread going into the suites of the palace. Not all of them showed signs of a slaughter, but enough did that even the warriors were leery after a while. Thankfully, there were no bodies. But the smell of spilt entrails and rotting blood was enough to turn them away in many rooms. In those instances, one of the warriors would hold his breath and rush in to throw the windows and shutters open, then hurry out. They found the royal suites by accident. In fact, the only way they knew it was the royal suite was a polished gold plaque the size of Stavin's hand that said it was. They entered cautiously, but there was no smell of death here. The rooms were spotlessly clean, and Stavin found that, in this at least, the Caravian royal suite was like the Evandian royal suite. The king's suite was in the middle, the prince's suite was to the right, and the princess's suite was to the left. It was obvious that King Zeldravel had been living in the royal suites. The man was a slob, or didn't have any servants with him, or possibly both.
"We need to get some servants in here to freshen this place for King Taravan and Princess Elisan, and for Shari and the kids as well."
Stavin looked around and shook his head. All 10 of the warriors answered,
"Yes, War Master."
Stavin led the way out of the suite.
"I want you 10 to lead Avrin and Sindal back here after the midday meal. Gods above, I wish at least a few of the king's servants had survived."
"If they were honorable, they wouldn't have embraced Lebowan in betrayal of their liege,"
Senior Sergeant Kel'Danel said from the side of the room.
"Which means they were stoned to death," Stavin replied. "Gods below, how did they take over so fast and so thoroughly?"
A junior warrior with just 4 white stripes said,
"According to one of the chosen lords we brought out of the dungeons, they came before the king to petition him. The man didn't know why. When they reached the court, their mage struck down the guards and the priests took over. They used the guardsmen's weapons to capture the court, and everyone cooperated after they killed several lords and ladies."
Sergeant Kel'Davin continued,
"The lady I was helping said she wished she'd had the courage to resist, but was afraid of the mage."
Stavin shook his head.
"Shari took care of him."
He stopped and looked at the men. He'd known all of them in Cavinston.
"Do you realize that Shari has killed 4 men this trip, and 2 of them were magi?"
There was a general chuckle from the warriors.
"War Master Kel'Hovel taught her well."
"Yes, he did," Stavin agreed. "Let's go see what else we can find."
Stavin and the warriors searched until they got hungry. They did manage to find storerooms full of the necessities of palace life.
"Remember where these are. The servants are going to need supplies."
"Yes, War Master,"
all 10 replied. Stavin chuckled.
"At least that's a title I earned."
He shook his head and smiled.
"I can't get used to the idea of King Stavin."
He looked at the warriors and grinned. From their expressions, they weren't so sure about it either. They continued on, checking every space they found, but didn't find anything but death. Stavin finally led them back out to the courtyard.
"Come by after you eat and lead the servants to the royal suites."
"Yes, War Master,"
they replied, coming to attention and then bowing. When Stavin returned their bow, they marched off in formation. Stavin joined his family.
"Avrin, after we eat, I want you, Sindal, and Ralph to go see to the royal suites."
He glanced at Princess Elisan.
"I want to move you and your father back into your suites. Shari and the Keds will move into the prince's suite." "Are you sure about this, Stevie?"
Sharindis asked.
"Yes. Beyond being more comfortable, they are made to be defended, just like back home. I'll be posting the royal guards in the suite to protect you." "You're not taking them with you after Zeldravel?"
Princess Elisan asked.
Stavin shook his head. "No, I'll take Kar and all of the warriors, along with all of the troops I can gather, but Major Zel Astel and the royal guards, and especially the guardswomen, will be staying here."
Stavin looked up and saw Mariah Zel Halvis watching him, so he waved her over.
"Mariah, you and your women will be staying with Shari and the kids when I go after Zeldravel, along with about 30 of the men. I'll be giving these same orders to Major Zel Astel."
He saw the major walking to the cook tent.
"Would you go get him and bring him back here?"
Mariah bowed and said,
"At once, Your Majesty,"
and turned away. She was back in moments.
"Yes, King Stephen?"
the major asked, bowing deeply.
"While we're out chasing the Cutter's followers, you are going to have to commission a new battalion of Caribbean Royal Guards. You are going to have to interview and train them all."
Stavin grinned.
"I'm giving you both temporary commissions in the Caribbean Royal Guard. Warvin Zel Astel, you are now General Zel Astel. Mariah Zel Halvis, you are now Lady Colonel Zel Halvis."
He let them react for a moment before asking,
"Isn't so funny when it happens to you, is it?"
Both of them looked uncomfortable as Stavin continued.
"My first suggestion would be to find as many retired guards as you can, and use them as your training cadre. Just make sure they get trained to our standards."
The newly minted general and colonel exchanged a glance, before bowing and saying,
"Yes, Your Majesty."
Stavin returned to his meal and saw Princess Elisan looking at him.
"Is there something wrong?" "I don't understand why you don't want all of your guards with you." "Because he wants them all with us,"
Shari answered.
"And because each of the warriors has been part of the expeditions for at least 5 seasons. This isn't going to be the kind of fight the chosen guardsmen and women are trained for. This is going to be bandit hunting, and that is something the warriors of Kel'Kavan know well."
The sound of someone sobbing drew their attention, and they watched as Sara Lee led Dana to their tent. Princess Elisan jumped up and ran to them, and Stavin and Shari followed close on her heels. Lady Sara Lee stepped out to face them with a sad expression on her face. She spoke very softly as she explained.
"We found Nelistal. He died 2 days ago, according to his cellmates. He resisted, and they beat him before locking them up without food or water. One of the men with him said there was pink foam at his nose just before he died."
Stavin closed his eyes against the pain in her voice. Looking around, he saw Captain Zel Corval and waved him over.
"We need to arrange a burial party to honor the lords who resisted Lebowan's priests. What arrangements did you make for the Queen?"
"Her Majesty is being laid to rest in her family's cemetery, Your Majesty." He looked at the ground and shook his head. "Queen Rowena was a follower of Lady Saren, but..." He paused and shook his head again. "But we can't find any of the lady's priestesses. We hope they fled and weren't slaughtered. The temple was hideously desecrated."
Stavin shook his head and sighed. "Lady, protect them. There are still a lot of people to bury. We need help with the graves." I would suggest leaving that to Lord Mayor Zeljarl, King Stephen,
Princess Elisanne said, looking down at him. Even at just 16, she was already as tall as Shari. Stephen's eyebrows rose.
I didn't know there was a Lord Mayor in Moravat.
She nodded and continued.
There is, and a city council as well. The see to the city so that the king can see to the kingdom.
Stephen gave Sherindis a wide-eyed look, then said,
Captain, send someone to invite the Lord Mayor and his council to the palace. Tell them what has happened, and that I'd like to see them before sunset, today.
The captain smiled as he bowed and said, Yes, King Stephen. Then he turned away and called several men to his side. Stephen looked puzzled for a moment, then looked at Princess Elisanne and asked,
Whatever happened to that sergeant we sent for the army message book?
Princess Elisanne looked puzzled as well.
He never came back, did he?
Stephen clenched his jaws on his anger, and a low growl rumbled in his chest.
That's twice I've asked for that book, and twice it hasn't arrived,
he said in an impatient tone. General Zelastel looked at his men and said,
10 guardsmen go to the general of the army's office and retrieve that book.
Wait!
Stephen cried out as the men started to leave.
Help me with my back and breastplates. Take them with you as shields against magic in case there's another mage.
The guards hesitated, then helped Stephen take off his breast and back plates. The senior two took the plates and held them like shields as they walked into the palace.
Karvik looked at Stephen and shook his head. Not your smartest move, King Stephen.
Oh?
Remember Baron's Bridge and that fire arrow?
Stephen's face fell.
Oh, yeah,
he grimaced.
Didn't think about that.
You should try and make yourself inconspicuous until you get your armor back.
Princess Elisanne looked at Karvik and said,
Don't you think you should be more respectful to the king?
Sherindis placed a hand on Elisanne's shoulder and sighed.
It's not worth the effort, princess. These two have been best friends for years. Trying to get them to behave like grown-ups is a lost cause.
Stephen and Karvik exchanged a look and a grin. Then both of them started laughing uncontrollably. Chapter 14 The guardsmen followed the directions they had received, and quickly made their way to the office of Lord General Zelmanow. The door was closed, and the leaders motioned their fellows back. When the one on the left nodded, the one on the right threw the door open. 4 crossbow bolts darted out of the room, striking Stavin's breastplate and deflecting into the wall and ceiling. The man with the backplate rushed into the room, followed by the rest of the guardsmen. 4 men in the robes of Lebowan's sheer priests fought desperately, but the armored bodies and fists of the guardsmen quickly took the fight out of them. The guardsmen looked around and found the bodies of the 3 young cavalry officers and sergeant who had been sent after the message book. A pile of supplies, mostly sausage, cheese, and wine, was on the desk, and a stinking bucket of waste was in the corner.
"It smells like they've been in here since we arrived,"
the senior guardsman observed, as he wrinkled his nose against the stench. The junior guardsman tied the hands of the priests behind their backs and looped ropes around their throats while the senior two searched for the book.
"You are all condemned,"
one of the priests hissed, once he could talk again.
"You cannot touch a priest of Lebowan. King Karvar Zeldravel will have you all stoned."
The guardsmen all chuckled at that. The most junior, a warrior with 1 freshly painted red stripe, topping 4 white stripes on his shoulder, grabbed the fool by the hair on the back of his head and turned his face toward the bodies.
"For the murder of Caribbean army officers and troops, it's you who'll be condemned." "Only the king can condemn a priest,"
another of the prisoners mumbled.
"King Karvar Zeldravel will never—"
An armored fist to the side of the head silenced him.
"We found King Taravan still alive,"
the guardsman said with a nasty smirk.
"He is condemned,"
the fool shouted.
"Caravia is Lebowan's, no?"
"No, it isn't,"
another of the guardsmen growled. King Teravan abdicated in favor of Prince Stephen Zel'Andral. King Stephen is taking Karavia back for the Zel'Darvin dynasty.
We have the book,
the senior guardsman said, tucking the tome under his arm as he strode toward the door.
Bring them.
What book?
One of the priests asked, and received a punch to the back of the head in reply. The priests were quiet as they were led out of the palace. When they reached the courtyard, their expressions turned desperate. Everyone they saw was in a Karavian army or a Vandian royal guard uniform. There wasn't even one person wearing a priest's robe. The guardsmen and their prisoners were surrounded as soon as they came out of the palace. None of the questions that were shouted at them were answered except to say,
King Stephen has to be informed first.
Stephen was waiting by his tent when they arrived. The senior pair helped him armor up and informed him of what happened while they did.
Stephen shook his head sadly.
They have earned a death sentence. Turn them over to the cavalry. It was their people who were murdered.
You can't do that,
one of the priests shouted as he surged towards Stephen.
Only the king can condemn a priest.
And I just did.
Let Captain Zel'Korval deal with them as he sees fit.
Give me the message book.
Stephen took the book and opened it as the struggling, protesting priests were dragged away. Stephen looked at the last few messages that had been sent. It was all routine. There was no report of the palace coup or of Lebowan's high priest seizing the kingdom. Looking up, Stephen asked,
"Does anyone know how this works?"
Princess Elisanne said,
"You write your message, add your activation glyph, then close it."
Stephen looked at her and asked,
"What's the activation glyph?" "They are individual. It acts as a signature."
The princess smiled at Stephen's surprised expression.
"That way only authorized people can use the book."
"Oh," Stephen said as he looked puzzled.
"Do you have one?"
"Yes,"
she replied softly as her face fell. She was staring at the ground when she continued.
"When I turned 10 and became Crown Princess Presumptive, I was given my glyph."
Stephen nodded and handed her the book.
"You should do this, then. We have to inform all commands of the incident here and give orders for Zel'Dravel's capture."
The princess gave him a slight bitter smile, then took the book over to the table. Shari brought her Stephen's ink and quill, then stepped back. The princess wrote quickly in an elegant script. "To all commands, emergency alert. The traitorous priest Karvar Zel'Dravel has attacked the palace and murdered both Queen Rowena and Prince Kaldan. King Teravan survives but is grievously injured. King Teravan has abdicated in favor of Prince Stephen of Ivandia. King Stephen has ordered the capture of Karvar Zel'Dravel and his supporters for high treason. He and his followers are to be captured and held until they can be brought before the king. For King Stephen, by my hand and in my name, Elisan Glorana Bettina Zel'Darvin, Crown Princess Presumptive of Karavia." She added a glyph and closed the book. There was a bright flash, then the book returned to normal.
"All army units who have a message book just received that, and their books will keep glowing until they acknowledge it."
Stephen nodded, then muttered,
"I always wondered how those things worked."
He smiled at the princess, then bowed.
"Thank you. With any luck, we will receive a message about Zel'Dravel soon."
A scream interrupted his thoughts, and he turned towards it in alarm. It had come from the cavalry camp, and he hurried over to see what was happening. Karvik was, as always, right by his side. A crowd of men was gathered by the wall, and Stephen and Karvik forced their way to the front. There they found the four priests tied to the horse rail, stripped of their robes and underclothes, while a line of men waited their turn to throw a stone at them. Stephen was sickened by the barbarity of it, but bit down on his reaction and turned away without saying anything.
"Gods below, what a horrible way to die. Serves them right."
As they walked away, Karvik grasped his shoulder.
"You're not going to stop that?"
he demanded, as he pointed back toward the cavalry troopers. Stavin shook his head.
"No, it's fitting punishment. Let them die as the poor souls they condemned died. Steve, I don't like it, Car. I hate it. But I have to wonder how many hundreds of people they condemned to die like that. It's fitting, however barbaric, that they suffer the same fate."
Stavin shook his head slowly as he looked up at his friend.
"I studied the ancient religious texts in Cavenston. Lebawan didn't decree stoning. He ordered quick, merciful deaths. It was only after he stopped appearing in the flesh that the stonings began. The priests started that to reinforce their own power."
"Gods above, Steve, you can't—"
"The gods above have nothing to do with Lebawan, Car. The gods below, maybe. I have to wonder who or what Lebawan really was, or Lady Sarin, for that matter."
Karvik looked at him carefully and asked, "What do you mean?"
"Lebawan and Sarin were both known to defer to Dandar Shandrake. Would a real god defer to a dragon?"
Karvik let loose a deep sigh.
"You know, Steve, sometimes you worry me."
They both sat down at the table with Shari and the children.
"What was it?" "Lebawan's priests dying in their own fashion."
Sherindis shook her head, then looked away.
"To die like that, it's horrible, even for men like them.
True, but I can't help thinking of all the innocent men, women, and children they killed like that. That's why I didn't stop it."
Princess Elisan whispered,
"I keep thinking of Cal dying like that."
Shari moved over and put an arm around Elisan's shoulders, and pulled her head against her shoulder.
"Try not to think about it. Remember the good times. Remember when you were happy." "I can't. All I can think about is Cal dying because of that stupid little mole. About Mum dying because she gave birth to him. About that bastard and his inspections when he was looking for floors."
She surged to her feet and began pacing.
"He said I was perfect, a fitting queen for him. All I had to do was swear my faith to Lebawan."
She turned back to face Shari with her hands balled into fists at her side. Tears were running down her cheeks as she choked on her own words.
"He wanted me to forswear every oath I took to Karivia, every oath I took to my father. He wanted me to legitimize his treason, to legitimize him. I told him I'd rather die."
She walked back to face Stavin, her rage making her glare seem dangerous through her tears.
"He said he'd see to my education when he returned."
Stavin shook his head slowly.
"He isn't going to return, Princess Elisan. The only way he'll come back to Maravat is to be dragged back in chains, and that's only if I don't just kill him as soon as I see him."
The day settled down for a while after that. Then, after 12 spans, the Lord Mayor and his council arrived. Lord Mayor Zeljarl was escorted to Stavin's side. The mayor was a white-haired elder, as were the 6 men and women arrayed behind him, and he looked down his nose at Stavin for a moment before saying,
"You're not my king."
"Watch your tongue while you still have one, Lerval Zeljarl,"
Princess Elisan snapped. Zeljarl and his councillors focused on her immediately.
The mayor asked, "Princess Elisan, why are—"
"What have they done to force you to go along with this?"
"They rescued me and my father while you hid in your council chamber and agreed to support Zeljarl so you could keep your positions."
"Your Highness, no, we—"
"Prince Stephen arrived and freed us. Dad was in the dungeons, barely alive. Mum and Cal were dead. And Zeljarl was keeping me to be his whore. When Prince Stephen and his people rescued us, Dad abdicated in favor of King Stephen, so we could have a strong king to take Karivia back from Zeljarl and Lebawan.
Your Highness, we didn't.
Don't tell me you didn't
know,
she screamed, as she advanced on him with her arms held stiffly at her side, and her hands again balled into fists.
You didn't want to know, because if you did, you'd have to get off your lazy asses and do something. King Stephen should have all of you replaced.
The councillors all turned fearful eyes towards Stephen.
Lords and ladies of the city council,
Stephen said in a remarkably controlled voice,
I do not intend to remove any of you from office. That would be counterproductive in this crisis. The reason I summoned you is too urgent to waste time finding your replacements.
All seven members of the city council bowed deeply. Then the Lord Mayor asked,
What can we do for you, King Stephen?
There are a lot of graves that need to be dug. Many of the lords resisted Level One's priests and were killed for their trouble. There are also a lot of Level One's followers who need to be buried before they start to stink. We're not taking prisoners.
The Lord Mayor glanced over his shoulder, then bowed.
Yes, King Stephen.
Another pressing matter is going to be workmen to clean the palace. As nasty as some of the rooms are, you'll probably want to send prisoners.
Stephen grimaced.
We're going to be throwing out a lot of carpets, and on a related subject, I am calling upon each chosen household in Moravad to send one servant to the palace to replace the one Zeldravel and his priests killed. And, my lords and ladies,
he continued as he sat forward,
those servants had better be good ones.
Stephen sat back.
That will be all, for now at least. You know what needs to be done? You know what resources Moravad has to offer? See that the burials are expedited before the bodies start to bloat. Have the servants report here in the next 2 days, and rest assured. We rescued many lords and ladies from the dungeons who will be able to tell us if you don't carry out my orders.
Stephen bowed his head and finally said,
You may go.
The mayor and his council bowed deeply, then backed away 2 steps before turning and walking rapidly away.
You should have dismissed all of them,
Princess Elisanne said, as she frowned at Stephen.
All in good time. I think your father, or you if the worst should happen, should deal with them. You are the ones they betrayed. Right now, I expect them to cooperate fully in an effort to keep me happy.
By nightfall, Averin came out and announced,
The royal suite is ready, King Stephen.
Stephen and Shari exchanged glances, then stood and headed for the palace. Princess Elisanne, Lady Sarah Lee, and Lady Dana followed. The servants had done an excellent job of making the royal suite ready for royalty again. When they arrived, Stephen gave new orders.
Helva, see to Princess Elisanne. Delva, see to Lady Dana and Lady Sarah Lee. Averin.
He waited for Averin to face him.
I want you to see to King Taravan's comfort.
Looking around, he spoke to all of them.
You five are the only servants I'll allow to tend the royal family. We don't have a mage available to bind anyone else. I'll be going out after Zeldravel, and I suspect that Lady Sarah Lee and Lady Dana are going with me.
He looked over and received nods from both of them. Looking at Charindis, he said,
I only want our guards around you. Warvin and Mariah will be rebuilding the royal guard, but for as long as we're here and I'm king, only the Avandian royal guards will be allowed to bear weapons near you. As you wish, Davy. Have you spoken to the healers about bringing King Taravan up here?
Stephen shook his head.
No, I wanted to make sure everything was ready first.
Charindis shook her head as she looked around.
I think we should wait until tomorrow. It's been a long day for everyone.
Chapter 15 The night was quiet except for the comforting sounds of the men and women on watch. Morning arrived softly, and everyone got ready for the new day. Sindal had already found a cook cart and brought it to the suites. Everyone sat together, with the twins playing up to Princess Elisan, being their most adorable.
"We'll move your father back to his own bed this morning and hope for some news about Zeldravel,"
Stavin said once they were comfortable.
"We are both coming with you, King Stavin,"
Lady Dana said in a no-nonsense tone.
"We discussed Sara staying with Ellie, but Sara and I are both honor-bound to avenge the wrongs done to our clans."
Stavin looked at her, then nodded.
"I expected that. As soon as we receive information about him, we'll be going. But it's going to be rough. I'm not taking the carriage or wagons. We'll buy food where we can and forage where we have to. I'll also only be taking just about 50 of the cavalry with us. The rest are the new palace guards."
"Do you think that will be enough men, Stephen?"
Charindis asked.
"It depends on how many followers Zeldravel has."
King Carvar Zeldravel read the message book and screamed,
"No! I am the King of Caravia! It is Lebowan's will! The Zeldavins are defective!"
The colonel, who was holding the book, bowed deeply.
"As you see, Your Majesty, but the message was sent with the princess's code. We didn't leave much of a force in the palace to hold it."
Zeldravel turned and shouted at the colonel,
"I am the rightful King of Caravia by Lebowan's will and law. There was no need to leave anything but a token force to keep everyone out of the palace. How dare anyone defy the greatest god?"
The colonel bowed deeply to give himself a moment to think.
"Your Majesty, the girl says that Prince Stephen of Evandir is behind it. He's known to be a tricky little defective, base-born bastard. He and the girl may think they can rally the army behind him."
The colonel paused and shook his head slowly.
"Begging your pardon, Your Majesty, but you should have tamed the little bitch before you left her there."
King Carvar turned and backhanded the colonel across his face.
"She was to be my queen. You will not speak of her in such terms."
The colonel backed away, bowing three times as men had bowed to the Emperor of Lux, then left the tent. King Carvar turned and looked at his counselors, senior Shia priests and inquisitors. They were the highest of his followers from the Kandalvad Temple.
"Well?"
Inquisitor Zel Istav stepped forward and bowed, his purple robe swirling around his feet.
"Your pardon, Your Majesty, but we did advise destroying the entire family."
"I know,"
King Carvar muttered.
"I know you did, but I thought throwing him in the dungeon and keeping her for later would be sufficient. I am the rightful King of Caravia by Lebowan's will. It is my destiny to bring Lebowan's worship to the entire continent. And just what is that Evandian bastard doing in Moravad anyway? Sticking his stunted little nose where it doesn't belong,"
Shia priest Feltorven muttered. Another priest stepped forward and bowed.
"He is their Minister of Trade, Your Majesty, and I hear rumors that there was supposed to be a trade mission visiting this spring. It could simply be a matter of bad timing."
The man who had made himself king turned and said,
"I thought we had people along the border to prevent any outside interference."
In a low, angry tone.
"We did indeed, Your Majesty,"
Inquisitor Zel Istav confirmed with another deep bow.
"But they may have simply failed to intercept him. He was not expected, and we didn't have enough people to cover every road from Evandia.
He is also known to travel as a trader on occasion, Your Majesty. Caravans from that trading house of his travel between the kingdoms on a regular basis. If he came across as a trader, our people might not have seen him,"
another inquisitor pointed out. Carvar Zeldravel shook his head slowly as he paced around his tent.
"However he got here, and whatever his purpose was, he cannot be allowed to usurp my throne. Get that book and colonel back in here. I will see to this personally."
There were several messages waiting for Stavin and Elisan in the message book the next morning. The message from King Zeldravel was first.